Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I feel like the Queen of Sheba. I didn't dress like the Queen of Sheba today. I'm preaching in my bowling shirt today, okay, people? But I feel like the Queen of Sheba. They didn't tell me the half of how good this place is. And this is my first time to James River. It is not my last time to James River. But to see what you've built, I just invited myself back. To see what you've built, and you know the fruit of your life really is in your children. And so to see Brandon and David, and I've yet to meet Savannah, but I hear such amazing things, to see really not just buildings and thousands of people, but to see their children walk with God and serve God. It is really a sight to behold. So let's one more time, let's honor and thank God for our pastors. Pray for your pastors, love your pastors. And the Bible actually teaches us to buy Starbucks gift cards for our pastors. Amen. Well, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Chad Veach. I live in Los Angeles, California. My wife and I have been married for 11 years. Any married people in the house? So we are 11 years married. She's so blessed. And come on, you guys, let's have fun. And so we're 11 years married. We have four children. We have 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Mama. And so, you know what I'm saying? So we have four kids. I have 3 boys and 1 girl, and we are having the time of our lives in Los Angeles. So Pastor Debbie was just telling me she visited Los Angeles a couple years ago and came to our church. So I want to give you an invitation. If you're ever in LA, if you're ever seeing Mickey Mouse, come by and see us at Zoe Church. Does that sound good? I'm going to jump into the text, but like Pastor said, I have a new book coming out, and I'm so excited. Help! I work with people. In my case, help, I work with little people, 2, 4, 6, 8. But I would encourage you to pick up the book. The book really deals with 3 things: how to lead yourself, how to lead others, and how to lead groups, families, or organizations. The hardest person to lead is yourself. Can I get an amen? So book's really going to help you with that. And we want to give you the first chapter for free. So if you text in the word people to 55444, we'll send you the first chapter for free. Anybody like free things? Do we have a Costco out here in Springfield? No Costco? We're getting a Costco? The favor of the Lord is upon this place. The greatest thing of Costco is the free samples in Jesus' name. We want to give you a free chapter, a sample. So check it out, 555-444. Sound good? If you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to read the text to you today, and then I will explain to you what the author intended to say. You're good, keyboard players. Give it up for the keyboard players today, making us sound spiritual and fantastic. Let me read these scriptures, and then I'll explain. 1 Corinthians 13. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Anybody excited that this world is not our home? Anybody excited we are destined to a greater place? Who is excited about heaven? I'm telling you, in heaven, there is no more sickness, there is no more sorrow, there is no more tears, there is no pandemic in heaven, there's no protesting in heaven, there is only the presence of God. Somebody make some noise. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm destined to a greater place. Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. Even as I am now fully known. Translation, God knows everything about you, and yet he still loves you. God knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he is still, you are fully known by God. He loves you just the way you are. He just loves you way too much to leave you that way. I am fully known by God. Maybe your spouse doesn't even fully know you, but God fully knows you. And now these 3 remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I love what he's saying here. Now, there's 3 things that remain. Faith remains, hope remains, and love will remain forever. But the greatest of these three is love. Now, again, I was going to tell you who the author is and what his intended desire of this letter. Now, the apostle Paul writes this to the Corinth church. If you don't know much about the Bible, Paul is an apostle. He would go into different cities and he would plant churches, like in Joplin or in Springfield. He could plant churches and they would flourish. They would take off. He would write letters of their growth and he would address things. Here in this letter, the first letter to the Corinth church, he writes in the previous chapter, in chapter 12, about the gifts of the Spirit. I love this. Anybody thankful that we have gifts that come from God? The gifts of the Spirit to build His church and to build others up. So he writes about these gifts. By the way, I live in Los Angeles and LA people are like, I'm not spiritual. It's like, okay, stop talking that way, first of all. Second of all, you are spiritual, okay? You are born of the Spirit, you are full of the Spirit, and you have gifts of the Spirit. James River, are you excited today that you are born of the Spirit of God? You are full of the Spirit of God? Anybody thankful for the gifts of the Spirit of God? You ought to clap a little bit louder than that. I'm Spirit-filled. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. So he writes of the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. There's all kinds of gifts. There's the gift of faith, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. There's all these gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13, he's like, these gifts mean nothing without love. He said, in fact, if you walk around gifted with no love, you are like the most annoying sound in the world. You're like a crashing cymbal. You're like a banging gong. You're like my kids with pots and pans. Please stop. So in chapter 13, he's trying to say, don't live on your gift. In fact, here in this text, he says, listen, your gift will not last forever. The only thing that will remain forever in this life and in the life to come is faith, hope, and love. I don't want to discourage you, but you can't take your money to heaven. You can't take your car. You can't take your house. You can't take your following. The only thing you're taking to heaven is faith, hope, and love. I'm building my life on that which will last forever. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will last forever. Somebody clap and thank God. I'm building my life on faith, hope, and what's the last one? Love. I want to preach a message today. You can write down the title. It's called, You Can Cancel Everything But This. You can cancel everything but this. Have you noticed? It's not so much maybe in Missouri as much as it feels like this in LA. They're canceling everything this year. In fact, someone that works in Hollywood, I was just talking to, they said Hollywood is just, they just mailed in. 2020 is a wash. We'll pick it back up in 2021. They canceled March Madness, people. They canceled the Masters, oh dear Jesus. They canceled everything this year. In fact, my wife came into my office this last week and she said, did you see? She was kind of crying. Did you see? And I said, no, I didn't see. She said, we just got a notification. They canceled schools in LA this year and we just held each other. Oh gosh, we're homeschool parents again. I need someone to take my children for 6 hours every day. Help me, Jesus. Stop laughing at me. I'm in a bowling shirt, you guys. I'm being sensitive today. I saw this great commercial and it was like, you know, graduations aren't canceled. It's like this one graduate in his gown and he's in his driveway and birthdays aren't canceled. It's like a kid with 16-year-old birthday with a cupcake and a candle and his friends and family on a Zoom, you know, meeting. It's like this first words aren't canceled. This little baby trying to like say their first words. These things are not canceled. I want to tell you what's really not canceled. Faith is not canceled this year. Hope is not canceled this year. The love of Jesus is not canceled. Come on, let's clap and thank God today. You can't cancel faith. You can't cancel hope. You cannot cancel the love of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you today that as we live in a cancel culture, your love cannot be canceled. Thank you, God, that when the enemy tried to come against us, Lord, we thank you that you'll turn around and use the things that the enemy tried to use against us for our good. Lord, we thank you that we're lifting our eyes to the mountains. Our help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. Show up today. Lord, open up our eyes to see you. Open up our ears to hear you. Do the unique, profound thing that happens when your word goes forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, come on, let's clap and thank God one more time. If there's this much faith in the first service, I can't imagine the second service. But then again, the real saints come to the first service. I want you to take that thought there. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And I want to go to a story about Jesus in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is one of my favorite stories about Jesus, where he meets a woman at the well. The Bible says that before he meets the woman at the well, one of my favorite lines of the text, it says that he had to go through Samaria. Now, Samaritans in this context, Samaritans were the worst of the worst. They were the lowest of the lowest. They were the scum. Nobody thought the Samaritans deserved the good news. Nobody thought Samaritans deserved the gospel. But the Bible says Jesus had to go through Samaria. I know 2020 has not been that kind, but I just want to encourage you in your life, you got to go through your Samaria. You got to go through the difficult season. You got to go, listen, some of us are like, I'd rather go around it. I'd rather go above it or under it. But God is saying this year, you got to go through some things. In fact, God is revealing some things that are in you that need to get healed. In fact, that which gets revealed must get healed. So God's not revealing things in you so he can point out and bring condemnation or shame. He is revealing some things that are like, we need to heal this. We need to deal with this. It's identity. It's insecurity. It is sin. Anybody thankful today that God is committed to revealing some things in your life so he can heal all things in your life? It is for freedom that Christ is setting you free. So Jesus had to go through Samaria. I heard someone say recently, where is the return policy on 2020? Is there a line we can get in to return 2020? The Bible says he crowns the year with goodness. Did he skip 2020? No, he is a good God. He is a faithful God. We've got to go through this as a nation. We got to go through this as a people group. We got to go through this in our homes. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He gets to Samaria. He's about to go meet a woman at the well, but the guys that are with him, they're not going to understand what he's about to do. So he's hungry, and he sends the guys away to get some food. He's like, hey, guys, I saw a sign on the way into town. Samaria has a Subway. I'm very much into $5 footlongs. Go get me an Italian. I'm kind of hungry. He sends them away. This is not about food. This is about them not understanding what he's about to operate into. I want to encourage you. You need some separation for your preparation for what God's about to do in you. Not everybody in your family, not everybody in your world is going to understand why you're serving, why you're tithing, why you're kind, why you're loving, why you're embracing the goodness of God amidst a tragedy. Anybody thankful today that I can bring some separation because I'm preparing for what God has for me? He had to go through Samaria. He had to get rid of the group. He sits down at a well with a woman and baits her into a conversation. He has nothing he needs from her. She needs everything from him. He says to her, hey, You think, can I get a drink? And she's like, excuse me, you're a Jewish man trying to talk to me? Rude, but yes, I'll give you a drink. And he goes, actually, if you knew who was asking this, you would ask me for a drink. And she's like, sir, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to talk to me this way? He goes, yeah, actually, if you drink what I have, you'll never thirst again. In fact, rivers of living water, come on, James River, rivers of living water will flow out of you. She's like, where? Do you buy this at Costco? where do you get such a drink? He's like, go tell your husband to come here. We'll get him the same drink. She's like, I don't have a husband, sir. He's like, you're right. Because the one you're living with, you're not married to, and you've already had five husbands. What I need you to understand about the goodness of Jesus is that his spirituality was attractive. He doesn't walk to this woman as like, it is I, the Messiah. I am going to give you a word of knowledge. I have the gifts of the Spirit. I'm in a bowling shirt. No, he operates in the gifts of the Spirit, and he doesn't even call it a gift of the Spirit. He says, let me give you a word of knowledge. I came here to Samaria for a broken, messed up person like you, and I'm going to read your mail and give you a word of knowledge. You've had five husbands, and the sixth one you're with, you're not married to. It's amazing because the biblical number for six equals man, but here comes Jesus, the seventh man. The biblical number for seven is completion and fullness. He is about to complete her and bring fullness into her life. Anybody thankful today that the seventh man is in your life saying, I'm not willing for you to live broken and messed up and depleted and depressed. I give you living water today. He gives her a word and she's like, OMU, this is crazy. She goes back to her village. She tells everybody about the goodness and the love of God that changed her life. I just want to use your imagination for a moment. What was she saying to herself sitting there on the job at the well pre-Jesus? I don't know what job you used to work, but when I was 16 years old, I worked at Burger King making Whoppers for Jesus, okay? So my first job, you remember when you were young and you had that in-between time between when it was busy and kind of downtime and you just be thinking about things? I wonder if the woman at the well sat there at the well and thought, there's nothing left in me. There's no virtue. I've been abused. Marriage one was difficult. Marriage three took it all out of me. Marriage five, I didn't think I could recover from. I don't want to live anymore. This is the worst life ever. No, Jesus walks into the scene. He says, I'm not willing for you to live this way. I came through Samaria and got rid of some guys to have a conversation with you. You're about to have a collision with grace. He baits her into a conversation. Why? Because he needs something from her? No, because he has everything for her. He is wooing her. He is destining her. He is calling her into his presence. A well is sitting on a well. Living water is sitting there with this woman. I'm telling you, pre-Jesus, she was messed up, twisted, depleted, and depressed. But when she left the presence of God, she went back home and said, I've got faith, I've got hope, and I've got love. You ought to clap a little bit louder today, because when you encounter Jesus, you get filled with faith, you get filled with hope, and you get filled with the love of Jesus. She went back home. They're like, who are you? She's like, I met Jesus. Who? I met a man that injected me with faith, hope, and love. Let me give you three things for your life today. Write down number one. I have faith in a really big God. I have faith in a, remember, if you've got a really big God, you've got really little problems. If you've got a really little God, you've got big problems. This year, stop telling your God how big your mountains are. Start telling your mountains how big your God is. Anybody here believing that we serve the God that splits Red Seas? Anybody believe in the God that will slay a Goliath? Come on, give him a clap today. If you've got a big God, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above anything we could ask, think, or imagine. He's a really big God. He's the God that made the heavens and the earth. He's the God that holds the stars in his hands. He is an awesome God. He is a mighty God. By the way, when it comes to faith, faith is what honors God most, and it's what God mostly honors. If you ever want to honor God, honor him with faith. Faith people are my favorite people in church because faith people believe in God. Even when they can't see it, even when they don't feel it, even when they don't have it, they still trust and believe in God. Faith by definition is trust, belief, and confidence. Faith people just trust God, believe in God, and have confidence in God. I wonder if you understand what's happening to your faith this year. There are levels of faith. There's crazy faith. Like, we're going to believe for a miracle. We're going to believe for revival. We're going to believe that our son that left the faith will return. That's crazy faith. There's desperate faith. Like the woman with the issue of blood that reached out desperately. Like the father with the sick child that came desperately. There's crazy faith, there's desperate faith, and there's tested faith. You realize your faith is being tested. It's a tested year. Watch what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. Even though lately you've had to put up with many grief of many trials, talking about homeschool parenting, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith. Oh, come on, somebody. Your authentic faith. I am half Mexican. Get the fake tortillas out of my face. I want the authentic tortillas. Who am I preaching to? Andale pues, carnal, guacamole, frijole. A couple years ago, I was preaching in Australia, and I noticed this guy wearing really cool shoes. He had a pair of Yeezy shoes on, and I just appreciated it. These were really good shoes. So I went up to the guy. I was like, hey, man, those are really cool shoes. He goes, yeah, mate. Thanks, mate. Yeah, they're fake. I was like, what? He said, yeah, mate, they're fake. And I was like, bro, nobody asked you if they were real or not. Like, just take the compliment. Just say thanks. Like, I wasn't going to take them off your feet and test them to see if they're real. You realize that we're seeing if your faith is real this year. We're testing. God's testing your faith to see if it, we don't know if something's real. We don't know if something's authentic until it's tested. It's a tested year. Crazy faith, maybe next year. Desperate faith, maybe next year. This is tested faith. This is saying, are you gonna trust me, believe in me, and have confidence in me, even when it doesn't look good, even when a political party might be too loud, even in the midst of protests and pandemics, will you have trust, belief, and confidence? My faith is not in a politician. My faith is not in a nation. My faith is in the name above all names, the King above all kings, and the Lord above all lords. Give him a praise if you have some faith. It's a tested year. Oh, I love the story in the Bible about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are three awesome Bible names. Abednego, great Bible name. The only better Bible name in all the Bible is Mephibosheth, but Abednego's number two in my book. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king puts out a decree and says, if you don't bow down to our false god, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, we go to James River. We ain't bowing down to no fake god. We on the bowling team. We wear the shirt. You can keep your fake god. I'm bowing down to culture. I'm not bowing down to your fakeness. I want to encourage you. The enemy wants you to bow down to some demonic spirit, to some twisted spirit. We will not bow down. We will not give in. We will have trust. I feel faith today. We will believe in God even when everybody says, you're crazy, you're weird, you're different. I know who I am. Look here, Daniel 3. Oh, I love this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if, it's an even if year. Even if my family member doesn't get healed from cancer. Even if I don't get my job back. Even if my son doesn't come back to the faith. Even if my marriage doesn't work out. Even if God doesn't show up when I ask him to show up. Even if, I will worship you. I will be in the house of God. I will serve the Lord with gladness. Somebody give him a praise. Even if. It's a tested year. There's crazy faith, there's desperate faith, and there's tested faith. She went back home. She's like, I got faith. I go, who do you got faith in? I got faith in a big God. He can read your mail. He knows everything about you. He's in love with you. He died on the cross for your sins. I got faith. And write down number two, I have hope in better days to come. I have hope. Oh, I love hope. Because remember, faith is the builder, but hope is the architect. Woo! I love this. My parents were building a home a few years ago, and so they hired an architect to come bring the plans, and they drew up the plans of the bathroom and the island for the kitchen and the patio, and they dreamt up a house. You realize that you don't have to go get a plan for your life. God already has a plan for your life. You realize that God has a dream for you. God has a vision for you. Oh, I love this about God. Faith will build your life, but architect will dream your life. Hope, by definition, is confident expectation. Yeah, so good. Wow. Ah! I feel like preaching today. Hope is confident expectation. Don't go by what you see or feel to be hopeful. The world says, don't get your hopes up. God says, put your hope in me. David was hopeful. Moses was hopeful. They didn't just have faith, they had hope. You cannot separate these two. They're like peanut butter and jelly. You got to have them together. Aren't you glad? I'm very thankful. Aren't you glad that the run of the Golden State Warriors is over? Can I get an amen in the church? Some hater in the back's like, I hate this guy. I love the Warriors. We're going to pray for you later, man. But when Steph Curry was getting really good and getting going, I'd watched it so much on TNT and ESPN, I said, I got to get up to Oracle Arena and see it for myself. This guy, he can shoot the basketball. So I flew up to San Francisco, and I went to Oracle Arena, and I'll never forget the first time I ever saw Steph Curry shoot the ball in person. The guy was passing it to him on the wing. He's there behind the three-point line. And as he's catching the ball, I promise you, the whole arena stood up. He doesn't even have the ball yet. They all stand to their feet. He catches the ball in one fluid motion. He just, oh, it's such a pretty jump shot. He just lets that, it's like smooth like butter. He just lets that thing fly. As he lets it fly, the whole arena is standing up, and they're just waiting for it to go in. They know it's going to go in. As soon as this thing hits, it splashes through the net. The whole place goes crazy. I want to tell you what 2020 is. You ought to stand to your feet and thank God. I don't see it yet. I don't have it yet, but I'm standing in confident expectation, knowing that God is about to show up. Somebody thank him today. I've got faith and I've got hope. Give him a shout of praise. What are you believing for today? Get some confident expectation. Oh, I got hope today. I've got hope. I got hope today. I'm filled with hope. Watch what the Bible says about hopeful people. Psalm 33. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. My hope is in the name of Jesus. My hope is in a greater place. When I look at the world, I'm like, thank God I'm not destined for this life. I am a citizen of a greater planet. I am a citizen of a greater place. I'm not living for this world. My hope is in his name. My hope is in his promises. My hope is in his unfailing love. She went back home, and they're like, wow, how is work? You're smiling. You never smile. You always look mad when you come home. She's like, I got faith, and I've got hope. Hope in what? Hope in my future. Hope in what God wants to do in me. I feel like God's going to use me. God's going to use you. You've had five husbands. You're living with somebody. Yeah, I know. I'm kicking him out today. Why are you kicking him out? He plays Minecraft all day. He doesn't have a job. I'm kicking him out. Well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to go tell everybody about Jesus. I'm just going to go get used by God. Because I got hope in my future. God wants to build hope in your family, hope in your business, hope in your city, and hope in this church. Give them a clap if you got hope in what James River is about to walk into. You ought to clap like you've got faith. You ought to clap like you've got hope. Keyboard player, come join me. And here's the third thing she says. I have a love for Jesus and my neighbors. I have a love for Jesus. I got faith, I got hope, but I got injected. I got infused with a love for Jesus. It bothers me, Christians that love God and hate humans. The Bible says in 1 John 4, if you love God and hate your brother, you've never seen God. You cannot love God and hate people. When you love God, He washes you and heals you and cleanses you and breaks your heart for what He loves most. God loves humans. God loves people. Oh, I'm thankful for the people that are clapping because they understand the gospel is about people. God is about people. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and His only Son, that whomsoever... whomsoever shall believe in Him shall not perish. Yeah, but what if you're like, you know, at a no-end, dead-end job? What if you've been sleeping around? What if you've had five husbands? Is the gospel good enough for you? Yeah, it's for people like her. It's for people that are messed up and broken and depleted and don't think that they have a shot at Christianity. I'm telling you, Jesus is that good. He is that gracious. Paul goes, three things remain. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. My three boys, my oldest, my six-year-old, our boys are 2, 4, 6, and my six-year-old always comes to me, he's like, Dad, be honest, man, who's your favorite Veach boy? I'm like, bro, I tell you this every day, y'all are my favorite, I love all of y'all equally. He's like, bro, come on, Dad, you know you love me the most. I'm like, what confidence? Arrogance. Wow, no. Paul's going, faith, hope, but don't get it twisted. The greatest of these is love. In other words, church, if you got all this faith and all this hope, but you don't have love, you've missed the entire point. Because she went back home with a love for Jesus. I mean, like, you ever meet people and they're like, oh, they're a real Christian. They really love Jesus. Pastor Debbie really loves Jesus. Love made him go to Samaria. Love made the guys go away because he never would have been able to talk to her. Love made him ask, think I can get a drink? Love made him go to a cross. It was love that made him do it. The law could never motivate you like that. The law only taught me how bad I am. But the love of God is the greatest force in the whole world. And the love of God will change the earth. I pray today that you would leave this service filled with faith and hope and a greater love. That you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and your strength. And you would love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that as we encounter the good news today, we thank you that we are leaving this well. We are leaving this service filled with more faith and more hope and more love than ever before. We thank you that this cannot be canceled. I'm going to give an invitation to anybody that feels like this woman at the well. You feel tired and broken, you feel weary, and you've never said yes to the good news. When I count to three, if you want to say yes to Jesus, lift up your hand. Your hand is just an extension of what you're feeling in your heart. Your hand is just an extension of the decision you're making. When I count to three, lift your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus, 1, 2, 3, lift it up right now. Just if you want to say yes, yes, yes. Online, people are saying yes right now. In your home, you're saying yes. Here in the auditorium, at the other campuses, people are saying yes to Jesus. Come on, church, let's say this prayer together. Say, Father God, thank you today for the gift of love, the gift of hope, and the gift of faith. I say yes to who you are. I receive my salvation. I will serve you. I will follow you. Come on, church, let's clap for all those who gave their life to Jesus today.